I've described it as it is or was depicted on the walls of temples and monasteries and on painted scrolls all over Tibet and the adjacent, especially Himalayan, area. But what does it mean? What does the wheel of life mean? What do all these circles and segments mean? What do all these symbols mean? Even what do all these illustrations mean? Now, I'm not going to say what it means. Not going to say what the wheel of life means. In any case, much of it cannot be explained at all. The symbols, at least, cannot be explained at all. I'm going to ask you, therefore, to look at the wheel of life again. Not only look at it, but look into it. Because the wheel of life is not, in fact, a picture, not, in fact, a painting at all. The wheel of life is something else, something quite different. The wheel of life is a mirror. It's a mirror in which we see, what else should we see? Ourselves. We could even say that the wheel of life is made up not of four concentric circles, but of four mirrors, each mirror bigger than the last. Or we could say that looking, we look into the mirror four times. And each time we look into the mirror, we see more and more of ourselves. Realize more of ourselves. Experience more of ourselves. The wheel of life, we may say, is in fact a sort of magic mirror, or even a sort of crystal ball into which you can gaze and gaze. So let us look now into that mirror, into that crystal ball. Look into it even not just four times, but as many times as may be necessary. And let us have the courage to see ourselves. And the first time we look into the mirror, what do we see? We see an animal. We see three animals. We see the cock, we see the snake, we see the pig. There we are, looking into the mirror, and what do we see looking into it? The cock, the snake, the pig. Of course, usually there is an explanation. Usually we are told that these represent greed, aversion, and ignorance, and that these three mental poisons are present in our own hearts. This is what we're usually told. This is how the whole thing is usually explained. But this, if I may say so, is letting us off far too lightly. We may say that this sort of explanation represents a kind of defensive rationalization. It's after all much more of a shock when we actually look into the mirror and we see not the allegedly human face that we expected, but the face of a bird, of a cock, the face of a reptile, a snake, the face of an animal, a pig. That's us. We see just that in the mirror. In other words, we have a direct experience of our own animal nature. We're just an animal, even just a beast. We see that we're not really always so human or so civilized as we had thought. We look in the mirror and we see our own animal nature. And this seeing, this realization, is the beginning of spiritual life. We see ourselves, as it were, as we really are, on that, as it were, lowest level, at rock bottom, as it were. We see ourselves as we are. We accept ourselves as we are. And we go on from there. Now, what does that mean? What does the going on from there mean? Well, to begin with, it means that we take another look in the mirror. We take a second look after we've got over the shock of the first. After we've seen the animal face or faces in the mirror. When we've recovered from that shock, when we've seen and accepted what we saw the first time, we take a second look into the mirror. And what do we see this time? We see two paths. One goes up, the other goes down. It's as simple as that. One white, the other black. We see, in other words, that we are faced by two alternatives. We can either go up or we can go down. It's as simple as this. We can either evolve or not evolve. Devolve or regress. The choice is before us. And it's before us, we may say, every minute of the day. Every situation in which we find ourselves. Shall we go up? Shall we go down? Shall we ascend? Shall we descend? Follow the white path or follow the black path? It's up to us to decide. So suppose we decide, after thinking it all over, to go up, to follow the white path, to evolve. So then the question arises, well, how to evolve? What must we do to evolve? What constitutes the next step? Having made that choice, taken that decision. Now, the nature of the next step depends on where we are now. So we have to find out where we are now. So we look into the magic mirror for the third time. And what do we see this time? We see the world of the gods, the world of the titans, the world of the hungry ghosts, the world of tormented beings, the world of animals, and the world of men. What does this mean? It means that we see where we are. We see where we are at any given moment or over any given period of time. Sometimes, when we look into the mirror, we see a happy, smiling, or peaceful, cheerful face. We see the face of a god. Sometimes we see an angry, aggressive face. Face of an asura. And sometimes when we look in the mirror, we see a famished, hollow-eyed face with a pinched mouth and dissatisfied expression, the face of a hungry ghost. On other occasions, we see an unhappy, miserable, even tormented face, the face of someone in hell. And again, when we look, sometimes we see the face with a long snout, or whiskers, or big sharp teeth, or a tail, the face of an animal. And sometimes when we look in the mirror, we see just an ordinary human face. But whatever we see at any given time, any given moment, whatever we see in the mirror, we see ourselves. Now let's go into this a little more. I've spoken of the six segments into which the third circle of the Wheel of Life is divided as six worlds, six realms. That is, I've spoken of them as actual realms of existence into which living beings are reborn as a result of their karma and in which they remain, in which they live, until that karma has been exhausted. And that's quite true. but it's only half the truth. The six segments of the third circle also represent six states of mind. Six states of mind which we can experience here and now in the course of the present human existence. And sometimes we experience these states of mind so strongly that for the time being we seem actually to be living in another world, in heaven or in hell or among the hungry ghosts. In other words, we experience them almost as states of being rather than just as states of mind. So let us look at each of the six worlds in turn in this light. That is to say, look at them as states of mind or being rather than as realms of existence.